Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a... Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Talam, your host and engineer tonight for your nice show of Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Our Learning Lab, you know, provides our audience with an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This particular episode would focus on developing leadership skills in our children and our listening. You are invited to bring your questions as well as share your parenting experiences to the Learning Lab. We have an opportunity for you to share and provide information about what you went through or what you can provide for your children to help and assist us in this day and time. So we'd like to bring to you your host for tonight's show, Mark Shahid. As-salamu alaykum, Mark.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shahid. I am the host, the facilitator, and the producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaudeen and Rashid Salam, of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that's heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. And Rashid Salam and myself would like to welcome our guests that have tuned in to listen in, and especially those who are first-time listeners here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We do want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. So we do invite you to ask questions or to make comments on anything that Rashid Salam or myself would say tonight on tonight's topic and all. And we want to also say to those who are listening by way of the Internet, we'd love for you to be a participant. But for you to be a participant, you do have to call into the studio. So we want you to make sure that you bring an open mind and open heart to the Learning Lab. But the only tools that you need would be a good ink pen or a pencil and a good notebook, because there will be some noteworthy things that will be said tonight. Therefore, you'll be able to jot those things down and maybe want more clarity, or maybe you might want to make a comment on that. So those are listening by way of the Internet. The number that you want to dial into the studio to raise your hand is 714-816-4673. Once again, the studio number to IWDM Radio is 714-816-4673. We also want you to know that this learning lab, like the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, the Sister Learning Lab, to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, have the same foundation. And we use three sources. I didn't say resources, three sources. The first source is Al-Quran. Al-Quran is the final revelation to all of humanity, not just to and for Muslims, but for all humanity for all time. And the second source that it is that we use is the life example of the prophet in the demonstration of the Quran. That's the second source. And the third source is the tafsir. Tafsir means the clear explanation of our scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Waris-ud-Din Muhammad. So these are the three sources and the foundation for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We are also using an outstanding textbook authored by Ikram, and Muhammad Bashir. They are co-authors of this outstanding publication, Parenting Skills Based on the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet, and Practical Applications for Various Ages. So this is a textbook that it is that we are using and been using for a few months now. We also have some staples that we have established here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab throughout its inception. And one of the things that we did was follow the lead of our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Wafdi Muhammad, when he said, in definition is direction. I've since then also added correction. And so we've given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We simply say parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical in our children, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility, not only, and we want to dismiss that misnomer, misconception, misperception, that this is only the role and responsibility for the mother, but it's also the role and responsibility for the father to nurture and cultivate these vital components that comprise the holistic human being. Very important. And we also want you to know that another staple is that parents have the role and responsibility to raise their children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, then their family, and then their community. And then we say, inshallah, and for those who don't know what that means, it simply means God willing, with consciously regardful parents, knowing and understanding their role, responsibility, and obligation to teach their children, that it can and will be some world leaders that will emerge from those type of families. And we also want it to be known that it's a staple here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what it means, God the Most High, who is perfect and don't make mistakes, errors, and don't have shortcomings. He is the first teacher for all of his human creation. He's the first teacher. And he teaches us by two means, his natural creation and also through revelation. And he has given the honor and the distinction to the mother to be the first teacher and leader for us in this realm of life. And it is the mother, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother, meaning that the mother will have the first responsibility for the care and given that foundational, basic fundamental knowledge, not only to our baby girls, but also our baby boys. So with that being said, you know, this is a special Wednesday as Dr. Patricia Sloan-Dean, our very distinguished esteemed co-host here, had to attend another event or say she's on another assignment tonight, a very rewarding assignment for her resident imam there, my good brother and friend, Imam Dr. Nasir Ahmed. So inshallah, God willing, she'll be back with us next week. But never fear, because Rashid Salam is here. And so tonight, Rashid Salam, we actually we're going to be doing two things tonight. I want to say to our radio listening audience to do a little housekeeping here. So those of you who listen in each and every Wednesday, we want you to know that, first of all, we're right at the brink of Ramadan. This day is the last day in the calendar month of Shaban. And so tomorrow will be the first day of fasting. there were imams and those scholarly people looking out for our community, the community imam, W.D. Muhammad. There was no sighting of the new Hilal last night, but tonight there will be a new Hilal, and the blessed month of Ramadan fasting will begin tomorrow. So we wanted to say that. And so, therefore, we decided to make sure that we kept the regular time. But we want to also alert you that in the month of Ramadan, this learning lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and the Sister Learning Lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, will be moved up. And it will air only in the month of Ramadan at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. So you want to make a note of that. I want to say it early and before we close out the Learning Lab. I'll repeat that information. And no, tonight it won't be a MGM roundtable, a Muslim Global Message roundtable. It will be moved to Saturday afternoon. And the first roundtable will be this Saturday, and it will begin at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. And the theme, as it has been for the last 4 to 5 years, will be fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. And we want you to know that we're going to have some of the most outstanding intellects in our community, and I will be dialoguing with them on that theme and that subject. And we are honored to say that Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed, who tonight will be receiving a Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award, he will be my first guest Ramadan 2023, and I will be dialoguing with him on that theme, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. So you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a whole lot of valuable information and education that will come from the MGM roundtable, inshallah, God willing, in the month of Ramadan. So we wanted to do that little housekeeping thing at the beginning, and we'll repeat that at the end. So for our radio listeners, audience tonight, we're going to be looking at, I think, a very important topic tonight in terms of using examples and teaching our children, using examples from our children's immediate environment. To teach our children, we want to use examples from their immediate environment. And we also want to reserve some time to just have an introductory in terms of the upcoming productions here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab in terms of how Ramadan can and will affect the family life tonight. So that's what it is that Rashid Salam and I will be dialoguing on. So we hope that you have your pens and pad. And this outstanding publication we have been utilizing here, the Bashirs, we will be on chapter 14. And so they give examples or in terms of the Sunnah of the Prophet and how it was that he taught in his time. By using examples when he was teaching crowds and all, by using examples in the immediate environment to relate to maybe something abstract or in terms of something that was not so readily understood. I like to take it to the Quran first before actually getting into this methodology that the Prophet used in terms of teaching. And that is that Allah has said in the Quran that he uses every similitude to reach and to teach us. And this, as Imam Muhammad has said to us, that he uses the small book to teach us in regards to the big book. And so what is that? What is that in essence is actually saying? There much in terms of the Quran, in terms of our spiritual nourishment, our growth and development as a spiritual being. So we see the spiritual as abstract. And that becomes what, in many cases, is unknown to the human being. The same way in terms of children, when we are trying to teach them in terms of something more in-depth on a higher level. I want to start with something that Imam Muhammad gave us in terms of master keys and being a student of his. He said to us, he says, let the known lead you to the unknown. Let the known lead you to the unknown. And if we, when we look at the Quran, as we read it during this blessed month of Ramadan, Allah oftentimes will use something in the natural creation that the human is familiar with, that he has taught him the names or the nature of all of those things. So it just stands to reason in terms of taking things to their logical conclusion to use something that is known to the human being. Well, this same methodology is what Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that simply means that the prayers and peace be upon him, he used that same methodology to use something that is known, you know, to use examples in the immediate environment. You know, for example, it was the Prophet Muhammad, it was reported that when he was speaking about the believer who reads the Quran, it's like a sikran. Sikran. You might say, what is a sikran? I didn't know what it was by itself, but, you know, in terms of teaching this class, I knew that it had to be something of that time. And so in the research, we find that the sikran was a Mediterranean fruit. Okay? And so the prophet is saying that the one, the believer, this is the key, that the believer who reads the Quran is like a sikran. And that for those who are taking notes, you might want to do your own research, but that's spelled C-I-Q-R-O-N, the sikran. The sikran, it has a sweet smell, a sweet fragrance, but it has a delicious taste. So the sikran is like a, to give you an example, it has a combination of the pineapple, the mango, banana, strawberry, papaya, all wrapped up in one. And those of you who have actually eaten these fruits, and especially when they ripe, you know, you can actually smell them. So he's saying, and making this analogy, that the believer that reads the Quran, he's comparing it to that because it has a fragrance that is sweet and a taste that is delicious. So when we look at fragrance, fragrance here be the abstract. So, the you know, in terms of fragrance that is sweet. So we look at the believer that reads the Quran, you understand, in terms of having a fragrance that is sweet, meaning that the fragrance, it is giving off something. But then he said, the believer that does not read the Quran is like a date. It has no fragrance, but it has the sweetness of a date. And many of us eat dates during the blessed month of Ramadan, but it doesn't give off anything. So, you know, when we see this methodology being used, the wisdom in it, of course, if we was to ask you what type of believer would you want to be known as, You want to be known as the believer who reads the Quran. Mm-hmm. So that you would give off a sweet fragrance, or it would be a sweet spirit that comes from you, because in reading the words of revelation, the final revelation that Allah is giving to us, it produces a sweet spirit. And sometimes you hear us say, well, that's really a sweet person. The spirit is that of sweetness, you see. And, you know, the fragrance of this sikran, which is a Mediterranean fruit, it has that type of fragrance to it, and it has a delicious taste. And so taste oftentimes is emblematic of experience. So you always, from a person just a believer, you could have a sweet experience with them, but they won't be able to give you much, you understand, because they don't read the Quran. This is the difference in terms of when the question is asked, do you believe in Allah? But do you believe Allah? So the Quran, you understand, helps to give us not only that sweet fragrance, but also a delicious taste all the time. So that's making a distinction with the people at that time, because they were very familiar with that. And then he went on to say that the hypocrite who does not read the Quran is like the basil. And he said the basil does not have a fragrance, but it has a bitter taste. So this is now given a description of the hypocrite. Hypocrite does not read, the one that does not read the Quran, it doesn't give off a fragrance. And so oftentimes you don't know that person, you know that they actually are a hypocrite, but they have a bitter taste. And so this makes a distinction in terms of using something, an example in the natural creation, but something that is in the immediate environment. Now, I know this is somewhat a little bit different than what it is that we may be accustomed to hearing, but when I looked at it very closely, you know, Rashid, in looking at what Allah has said in the Quran, and those who are students of the Quran, we know that it's only Allah's sunnah in the Quran. It's not the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah. But actually, the Prophet, in terms of this hadith and narrative, I see the Prophet following the sunnah of the Prophet. I see the Prophet following the sunnah of Allah in terms of teaching. When Allah says that he uses every similitude, and we know, for those of you who read and retain things in the Quran, how many times does Allah point us to something in the natural creation that he knows that we know? How does he know that we know? Because he is the one that taught Adam, the first of the human beings. He taught Adam the name and the nature of those things. And so he uses that natural creation that we now know, because Allah taught us that. When I say us, we are all Adam, and to lead us to what it is that we don't know. And this leads us to the abstract, or to the spiritual aspect of ourselves. I'm hoping this is not so deep and so complicated, Rashid Salam. But at this point, I want to give you opportunity. Just what you've heard tonight, I think this is all noteworthy, and hopefully, you know, we'll get some questions in regards to this, because this is actually the methodology that we should use when trying to teach our children something on a higher level, you know, that's not seen. My good brother and friend, for some time, have taught about the abstract of being a reality or a truth without details. You see, what it is that you can't see, does this mean that it's not a reality or truth, just like air, but without the details? So this is Allah's sunnah, Allah's way, one of the ways that he uses in terms of teaching us, and the Prophet Muhammad has used that methodology when he was teaching the people in terms of differentiating between a believer that reads the Quran from a believer who doesn't read the Quran, and also differentiating in terms of the hypocrite who does not read the Quran, and he simply used fruit, vegetables, and then we're going to give you something in terms of animal in just a little bit. So I want to go to our very distinguished co-host here, Rashid Salam, welcome, and appreciate you sitting in for Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean tonight in terms of this topic and in terms of how to teach our children with examples from their own immediate environment. And we're going to, inshallah, get to that in a little bit to bring it home in terms of practical applications. But this is Islamic base. Rashid Salam, any comments from you thus far?
Yeah, assalamu alaikum, my brother Mark. I'm going to open up with Bismillah. You know, it's strange that when you mention examples from the immediate environment, well, you just helped us recalibrate what it is and the tools that are used to make sure we understand that that's part of the environment that we have to create for our children by unlocking the human potential, you know, in our children. And what better way to do that is with the sciences of universal order of things. So that was very well said, and I think lays the foundation for us to understand the big book, you know, that creation, that natural creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us with to teach and provide our children with a foundational environment before we even leave the house, you know.
Yes,
so once
yes.
again, the burden is back on that parent, you know. The parent has the burden again, you know, to know that Allah, our children know our trust from Allah. And we as parents have to provide that foundation, that environment of education. And from that environment, we have to provide proper understanding of the culture and the surroundings of our children. So whatever that environment is that they are participating in once they leave our home, we're in good shape to be able to have certain responsibilities and knowledge that we understand. So when we think about education, when we think about allowing our children to participate in this society, man, this job is so big, Mark. I get excited every week. And, you know, the reason I get excited, wow, what we didn't know. What we
yes,
didn't know
yes.
about this world and what we didn't know about how to train our children. And more importantly, this trust that Allah gave us, our children, the right to be fed, they have the right to be clothed and protected. And that word protection, I think, is the most important thing when you start talking about environmental examples that we show. Preparing our children to reach adulthood with the proper tools and resources that are necessary for them to grow and develop and also participate as healthy intellects in this world, in this society that we live in. So it was a great introduction, I believe, because education is the key component here.
Yes, yes. Alhamdulillah. No, that's well said, Rashid Salam. So alhamdulillah, you know, some very valuable points in terms of bringing it right down to the ground and bringing it home, because it's all about grasping and understanding this, and then understanding in terms of the best methodology, the best way. We say sunnah, we want to track it to the Quran, and Imam Muhammad always said that the best thing that we can do in learning this religion is to make connections, connection. So we can see where Allah is telling us that he uses every similitude. He didn't say some similitudes. He said every similitude to reach and teach us. And we know that he uses the two means. The two means is his natural creation that he created and also revelation. These are the two means, or is saying the emblematic hands of Allah in terms of teaching us. Oh, this is powerful information, because this is information that we never knew before, and we never really knew that in terms of Sunnah being the way of Allah. Oftentimes the Prophet's Sunnah would change, and so therefore you don't see the Sunnah of the Prophet in the Quran. But we can see the relationship here in terms of the way that the Prophet taught people higher understanding of abstract things by using the concrete that which can be seen and that which is known. And then we can see also the wisdom in the master key of Imam W.D. Muhammad. That's why I set out from the very beginning that these are the three sources here when Imam Muhammad said, let the known lead you to the unknown. Let what it is that you know. And those who teach, and Islamic teachers, and as parents, as Muslim parents, we are also to see ourselves as teachers and also leaders, and we should use the same methodology for reaching our children, and especially when we are articulating higher things in life. This is very, very important. And as we go on with this learning lab, I think you'll be able to see that. It was also a report. I want to say to those of you who just tuned in, you're listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Rashid Salam, who's sitting in for Dr. Patricia Slaudine, and she's away on another assignment, and we look for her to be back next week, inshallah. And yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And we're looking at, in terms of how, to teach our children with examples from their immediate environment. And we just got to giving hadith reported in terms of the Prophet Muhammad using something in the immediate environment in his time that all the people were familiar with in terms of the fruit, the vegetable. And now we get ready to bring in an animal in terms of how he made the distinction between the believer that reads the Quran. This is very important because this is going to be the theme at the MGM Roundtable. But we can see it now, even before Ramadan, because many of the believers are going to be wiping off much dust off of their Quran because they haven't picked it up since last year, you see. So, you know, to make that distinction in terms of using something in the immediate environment at that particular time by the Prophet Muhammad in terms of making a distinction between the believer who reads the Quran as opposed to the believer who doesn't read the Quran, and then even making a further distinction of the hypocrite that doesn't read the Quran, and comparatively speaking, as such as basil, you know, not having no sweet fragrance, talking about the hypocrite, but having a bitter taste, you know, see, so That should put that on your mind, let that marinate your mind and all. And it was reported that the Prophet Muhammad also said that one that studies and is learned in this religion, this way of life, in terms of al-Islam, he made the comparison or the analogy or the parable is like an owner of camels, who takes care of the camel, and that camel don't and won't leave the owner, as opposed to the camel owner who frees his camel or is carefree. We'll say carefree. It was in the book that frees his camel, that would lose his camel. And you know, of course, Rashid, we've heard that saying, you know, that we used to say that was really incomplete, not as substantive as we could be, what we used to say, tie your camel. I mean, he said, no, trust in, he said, no, he said, tie your camel, but trust in Allah, you know, or trust in Allah, but tie your camel. That's what it was, trust in Allah, but tie your camel. And Imam Muhammad say, no, you do both. You tie your camel and trust in Allah. So but should not be there as a conjunction in that regard, because we don't test Allah, obviously. But it also says something to the camel in terms of the nature of the camel, that if you didn't care for the camel and you didn't take the precaution to tie your camel, in this case, in terms of literally speaking, that you may come out and your camel is gone just because of the nature in terms of wandering off or what. But let's look at this here and see what we can extrapolate from this reported hadith of the prophet in terms of saying that a believer that studies and learns the religion and making the analogy or the parable is like an owner of camels that are well taken care of, and that the camel won't leave them. The camel stays with them, as opposed to the camel owner that is carefree. And they wind up losing their camel. Well, obviously, you know, Rashid, what should immediately come to your mind and to our listeners' mind, that the prophet is making this analogy in terms of that if you do this as a believer, you study and you learn this religion, you study and read the Quran, and you learn this religion, it stays with you. Why? What's the connection here where the owner has a camel but takes well care of the camel? The camel realizes that and knows that. The camel's not going anywhere. Almost, you can look at almost any animal that even people have as pets. When that pet is well taken care of and they find love from the owner of it, the master of it, the animal doesn't have any reason to wander off or go away or stray away. And if it does walk away, it's going to come back because of the treatment of it. So we should see the same thing, or more so, in terms of those believers who study and become learned in the Quran. This is the emphasis that the prophet is putting on that. It doesn't leave you. It becomes a part of you. And do we have an example of that? Yes, we do. And maybe we never made this connection. And when the man went to the prophet's wife, Aisha, Rahimahullah, Anna, and simply asked the question, in terms of the character of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, who is this man? And she didn't answer him in a direct way. She answered him in an indirect way, because he asked her a question, and she turned around and asked him a question. And the question to the question was, do you not read the Quran? And, of course, I'm quite sure that the man probably felt somewhat insulted. Well, of course I read the Quran, he said. And so then Aisha, Rahimahullah, Anna, she says, then he is the living Quran. He's the living Quran. So the prophet here is actually making a parable in looking at those believers who study and read the Quran, who learn the Quran, who learn this religion as a camel that takes good care, a camel owner that takes good care of his camels, that they won't leave. And the Quran won't leave you. you know, because you care about God's revelation, his word to us in the communication. It won't leave you. It'll become a part of you, so much a part of you that it will affect your thinking, your mental attitude, your disposition, your behavior. People will see the Quran in you. It'll be reflected in you. It'll be reflected in your character. It'll be infused in the whole of the personality, the reality of the person. Just like the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That doesn't mean you won't become a prophet or anything of that nature. But what was possible, as Imam Muhammad say, that was for Muhammad and Adam, being the potential of all human beings, that's also the possibility for us. I'm going to stop there. And, you know, as our radio listening audience, if you just tune in, you listen to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Rashid Salam, sitting in for Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, here. And we are on a I love the topic that we have in terms of teaching our children using examples from their immediate environment to teach them, and we haven't gotten to the practical application yet because we've been talking about the sunnah of Allah, the way of Allah, how he teaches his human creation, and we have been talking about the sunnah of his Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, in terms of how he taught the people by using things in their immediate environment to actually teach them on a higher level things that they didn't know. He started with things that they did know, and we using the master key that Imam W.D. Muhammad gave to us as students, let the known lead you to the unknown, meaning that let what you know lead you to what it is that you don't know. And this is excellent methodology that was used by the Prophet. And we're also suggesting that parents begin to use that. And we're going to give a practical application in a couple of few minutes. But we ask that you do press 1. If this is resonating with you, and all, so hopefully we're being very, very clear in this. And maybe you have a question or comment. Press 1 on your phone now, or if you're listening in by way of the internet, you do have to dial into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. Before we get your commentary, Rashid Salam, are there any hands in the air?
Yes, sir. Mark, we do have one hand raised. And, before I say anything, let's take care of our listening audience here.
Okay.
We do have 773-449. Please state your name. Tell us what you're calling from, and welcome to the Parent and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Your mic is
on. Know that.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Mayor Muhammad Shaheed.
Alaikum assalam, dear heart.
This conversation is so powerful, so empowering. And it's so insightful, comprehensible, and you simplify it to, you know, like it's understand. If you can capture the words and internalize the words as they're spoken of the mark. And I just really love the comment that Brother Rashid made, and it just allows you to see what's missing and put it in place in a difference. Like I always say, what you don't know, that you don't know, and if you did, the difference it make. And it just becomes so prevalent to me, you know, when I make that statement, because I'm always open for learning. I'm always open for learning. And everything, all the programs are so insightful. They're so insightful. But it's something special about this particular conversation here, because it allows you to see from a simplified aspect when you make these examples about the word you use, the corona. I wish I could taste that too, because it's not only the fragrance that you mentioned, but, you know, the taste.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
The plant
changing.
Or the fruit is called Sicron. Sicron, if you go on the internet or what, you know, the intelligence that we have, social media, It's a Mediterranean type of fruit, and it was common in that time. So the Prophet Muhammad, he used that in terms of describing the believer that reads the Quran. And then he used the date to describe the believer that doesn't read the Quran, you see? And so this was an effective methodology that the Prophet used for teaching. But I even went back to the Quran, whereas that it is the sunnah of Allah to use every similitude for teaching. Mm-hmm. So it is Allah that uses the natural creation. And how we say we know that? Because Allah tells us in the Quran that he taught Adam the names and the nature of all things.
Mm-hmm.
So this is in terms of looking at it from the concrete. But then that which is in the concrete, it can help us in terms of the abstract. Because we have had the ability to learn those things that we can see, that we can observe with the five senses, you see. So this is Sunnah of Allah, but the Prophet Muhammad, the Rasul of Allah, the Messenger of Allah, actually was influenced by the revelation himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so he used a Sunnah comparable to what Allah had given in revelation. And then those of us who say that we follow Muhammad the Prophet, then we also should use that same type of sunnah or way or methodology for teaching our children. We haven't gotten to the practical application of that, but I'm quite sure that when we do, you're going to say, oh, my God, I never thought about it like that. How it is that we can actually reach our children by using examples in their immediate environment. But that means that we have to know what their immediate environment, and it has to be something that they can readily relate to teach them something that they really don't know. So, you know, let the known lead you to the unknown. Let it what it is what you know. You start with that first, and then that leads you to what it is that you don't know. It's always been Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way or sunnah to do that. And the Prophet Muhammad, he also utilized that in his time to teach the multitude of the people where they would have a clear understanding, a grasp of what it was that he was talking about, especially when you're talking about the abstract, the spiritual realm of things. So hopefully that makes good sense, and hopefully our radio listening audience is benefiting from this on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. I want to thank you so much, dear heart, for calling in, always supporting these learning labs and productions here on IWDM Radio. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you. And I just wanted to say, in reference to that, the example that you made about the different camel owners and their relationship. But Diana, that was a beautiful example, you know, that you gave us that we can really carry with us and make those distinctions. I just want to say, and what you were saying, in ways that we share with our children, how important it is that we do get this, because I have adult children, and I had a conversation with my daughter today. She's 45, and I can by the blessing of Allah, I can hear in her conversation what's missing for her, and Allah speak into that. And I'm just saying now with what I'm hearing here tonight and waiting for this application, which you're going to bring forth to us, how we can really make a difference. It doesn't make a difference whether our children are minor or whether they're adults. You know, it's because when they were minor and what we couldn't tell them because we didn't know, so when Allah bless them, give it to them, we can freely speak to them and make a difference in their life. They'll be more receptive to us, because we know that we know that we know that we know, and we can speak with that conviction. So thank you, Brother Mark, so much. Appreciate it.
Yes, and thank you. Thank you so much, Amira, for calling in. Thank you, sweetheart. Appreciate you. Assalamu alaikum. Please press 1 as you go out, Amira. And if you have any comments, you can always come back in. And so that's what we want to hear, you know, calls like my wife Amira Muhammad calling in and just letting us know that what it is that we're saying is resonating. This is very important. You know, when you make the, do these productions and you study and you reflect on these things and all and bring this to our radio listening audience, maybe you may not have a question, or maybe you may not feel like you can add anything to it. But most certainly, we want to know, I know Rashid and I both want to know, if this is digestible. In other words, is this understandable? And if you know, if it is, you don't have to say specifically, as Amira did. You could just say in general. We love to hear from you, so don't be shy. Press 1 and come into the queue if this is resonating with you. Rashid Salam, anybody else in the queue or want to get some feedback from you on that?
Yeah.
Deep in the narratives of camel.
Yeah.
That is a problem.
Before I say anything, let's take the hands that are raised. And we do have another hand raised here. We have 254-419. Thank you for calling Lab Parenting Family Recovery Structure Learning Lab. Your mic is open.
Hello?
Yes. Yeah, you're live on IWDM Radio, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. You have a question or comment, please.
Assalamualaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Welcome.
Same to you. Peace unto you, my brother. Peace unto
yes,
you, y'all. I love y'all show. I think this thing need to go on forever and forever and forever and forever.
I'm going to lie. Yes, sir. Well, this your first, I hadn't heard your voice before, and I don't think Rashid has either. I mean, you don't have to say your name. You don't have to say where you're calling in from if you choose not to, but anything particular resonate with you tonight, or your first-time listener, or what?
I am Alami Muhammad.
Ah, okay, Brother Muhammad. Alhamdulillah. And anything in particular resonate with you, or is just something just in general, what it is that you've heard?
Yes, all of it. Carnation of all that is spoken.
Yes, sir.
My name is Name. I didn't give myself that name. I didn't choose that name. I didn't sign up for that name, and I didn't go change my name. I was born with that name.
Okay, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. That's a blessing, Brother Muhammad, alhamdulillah, to have that. Well, thank you so much for calling in, and Rashid and I, we want you to continue to listen, and if you have anything else that you want to say, please don't hesitate, don't deliberate. You can press 1. So what we're going to do is give you the greetings, assalamu alaikum, and we're going to continue on with the Learning Lab here, and there's some more information that we want to disseminate tonight, and you can always, once you're muted, then we're going to ask you to press 1. That'll take you out of the queue, and then if you have something that you want to say a little bit later, you can press 1 and come back into the queue, okay?
Yes, sir. Please
off the okay, thank you so much, Brother Muhammad, for listening in and actually pressing 1. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, Brother Rashid, so Brother Muhammad is muted out. Anybody else in the queue there or not?
Not at this moment, we don't. So
okay, so Rashid, you heard me say a mouthful. Hopefully, in terms of how the prophet was making the analogy or using the parable of the believer that really studies and learns the Quran, and comparing that believer that studies, reads, and learns the Quran to a camel owner that actually really cares for his camel and everything, and it is said that the camel will stick with that type of owner. But then we can even look at, you know, most pets today even if we don't have one, but how people really love animals and pets and how they look after them and take care of them. You know, that animal, even though it's operating under instinct, it actually affects them, impact them in terms of the loyalty and not going away. It's stick and stay and don't and won't stray away. And even if it strays away, it's coming right back because of the treatment of it. And then it compared to a camel owner that is free, or set the animal free or carefree, that ultimately they won't have the camel. So how do you see that, and what is the big takeaway here? Because it starts out with talking about the believer that reads the Quran, you know, reads, studies the Quran, and is learned in that and related to camel owners, but two different types of camel owners. What message can you extrapolate from this and what the Prophet Muhammad has said, Rashid? I know you weren't expecting these type of questions, but but look at the, I mean, the wisdom that's here. Rashid?
I'm telling you, you know, it takes me to a several things as you were speaking. Number one, support, and the other one is choices, you know, and that's that one of those C's, you know, where if you're going to be in control of anything, make a choice about something, if you're going to confer about something or collaborate about something and cooperate, you're going to have to make a choice. That means you're going to have to know something. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So as we begin to talk about what our children is required of, how can you teach your children about something that you don't know? And I think you make that analysis all the time. You can't be what you can't see. So as a parent, here this responsibility come right back to us again, that we really have to know what to teach our children so they can make a good choice. And we are that supporting, loving arm and that patient arm that has the opportunity to reciprocate by being what you know you need to be in order for that child to reflect who you are and what you're trying to share with them. And as you were speaking, you know, I'm thinking in terms of the preparation that's required and the examples that our children have in their immediate environment. Well, their immediate environment is the home. My immediate environment is the family members who are acting out and knowing, as you said before, you have to know this Quran, and you have to know how to participate and recalibrate, you know, I would say recalibrate how we think and how we look at things. So you got to know something about the outside environment. You got to know something about education. You got to know something about economics. You got to know something about politics and also our social culture to prepare our children to be intellects in those all four of those fields. Because when they walk outside that door, they are exposed to a world that doesn't exist in the household. So how can you prepare them that those choices that they're going to have to make, Mark? And there's no getting around making those choices. And I think you were referring to those immediate environments that they live in. Well, the immediate environments they live in, number one, is education in the school system. They're going to have to deal with that. You got to know something about history. You got to know something about America. You got to know something about all these things and the sciences and the math. So our children can be engaged in these particular things. And here we go with clothing. Our children are exposed to people laughing at them because they wear a hijab or laughing at them because they may have a kufi on. So you're going to have to be able to share these types of information. If your children don't watch television, the children they hang out with watch television, there's a disconnect to them. So they're going to have to know how to make that adjustment. So as we expose the schemes of this country, I mean, the schemes that our children are going to, you know, fall into, they can able to navigate if you expose them to what's taking place. There are some serious schemes out here. So how do you prepare our children as parents to participate in this society when it's so deadly? Man, this environment is not conducive for growth and development. It's just not. So that preparation, you know, right back to that word again, Mark, education. You have to know. How to be a teacher, a leader, and an entrepreneur. You have to know that, parent. So our work is serious ahead of us, and that support system that we have to put in place, and it shows the empathy and let our children know their limits. That they have to go through, they have to know limits are and how to participate in this world as they see it. And that's why I got excited about what you were talking about, you know, because I'm learning as a parent. I can, just like a person saying, I can now tell my daughter or my son something that I didn't know before. And I can
yes.
deal with reinforcement, with knowledge and the ability to give them the relativity of this world, this environment, in this society to make those analysis.
Alhamdulillah. Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Very, very well said. I made some excellent commentary, Rashid Salam, and I agree with you 100%. I mean, you really hit the nail on the head tonight in terms of bringing it right down in terms of what it is. Pardon me?
We knocked on the front door.
We knocked on the front door. That's right. So we want to open this door up. We want to open the door up here.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we want to open the door up here. We're going to use a practical application that the authors, the Bashirs, used in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the practical applications that they used in the book for teaching their daughter, they asked the question in terms of in the immediate environment as a student. Is that right that you mentioned education? So they asked the question, what if you were given a quiz? Would you be prepared? And then they asked the question, what if you were given a test? How much time would it be for you to prepare yourself for a test? What if you was given an exam? How much time would you need and how ready would you be? Now, you know, when we was in school, you know, a quiz, and especially a pop quiz, and a lot of time teachers, they want to see where you're at. They might give you a quiz and you put that word pop. You know, it's just pop up. You're not even told that you're going to get a quiz. And so a quiz generally consists of maybe anywhere from 3 to 5 questions, not many questions, but it's a quiz just to see where you're at. So would you be where you're at based on what it is that have been taught already? So so we're looking at the quiz. But a test is a little bit more detail. You're going to be tested, meaning that something has been given to you more in completion where you're going to be tested. So it's like, are you ready for the test? You see, one thing, difference between school and life. In school, you understand, unlike life, you get to take the test after you've gotten the lesson. But in life, it's just the reverse. You
Absolutely.
Get the test. You get the test to see if you have learned the lesson.
Wow.
So, you know, the lesson comes first in the educational piece from an academia perspective. But in
mm-hmm.
life, you get the test to see if you really learned the lesson. But an examination is even bigger than the quiz and the test. So the practical application here in saying, asking these questions, thought-provoking questions in the immediate environment of our children, especially when they're students, where they could or would get quiz, might would get a test, and also an examination. And oftentimes, I think they used to have what they call the SAT test that becomes like an examination where
yes,
there could
sir.
Be a things that that actually would be given in that examination. Tests generally would be specifically in terms of a specific subject our children as students would take, and a quiz could happen anytime. But then we had to look at it in terms of life. And so they use this analogy to illustrate in terms of their life from a spiritual aspect. Not knowing, you understand, some lives are like quizzes. They're quick. You're here and you're gone. But would you have prepared yourself in your transition? And some, we know from the Quran, in terms of having tests and trials in our life, how prepared would we be? How prepared would we be? So we illustrate in talking to our children about a different realm of life, that bringing a consciousness to them in regards to that. And the full examination in every aspect of our life, as we talk and give it in the prelude, in terms of development, not only as a physical person, you know, we also have that on the learning lab that you host, each and every Tuesday, in dealing with the various components as a moral, emotional, rational, intellectual, social, and a spiritual being, the holistic life of the human being? Or would you be prepared, you understand, for the answers that you have to give to your Lord and Creator? Just think about this, but look how profound this is, Rashid. In terms of looking at taking something, taking examples or using examples in our children's immediate life to convey, to communicate to them on a higher level, something that they can relate to. They all have had quizzes. They've all had quizzes before. And most of the time, as you remember in school, most of the quizzes I remember were pop quizzes. Yeah, sometimes the teacher might say, you're going to get a quiz. But a lot of times they didn't let you know. And that was called a pop quiz.
Yes, sir.
And Allah is merciful because he don't let you know how long you're going to be here. But are you prepared? Are you in a state of Islam?
Right. Wow.
So, Rashid, I know you got something that you want to say and add to this here in terms of practical application. Some example, you know, teaching our children example from their own immediate environment, and we go on to the education system that most of us are familiar with. And even if you were in Islamic school, your teacher instructor could give you a quiz at any time and actually give you a test and a full examination question. Are you ready? Would you be ready to take that?
Right.
And would you ultimately, you understand, be ready for the examination in terms of your Lord and Creator and what it is that we would have done in this life? Talk to us, Rashid.
You know, what basically, when you were talking, you know, this science just popped right up in my mind. That's an environment that all of our children have an immediate relationship with, the sciences and the math, you know, what to do, what not to do, and how to delineate between what's right and what's wrong. These are things that our children are exposed to. So we as parents have to understand also that trust has been given to us, that we take that what we refer to as that imprinting stage from 0 to 7.
Yes.
My parents have taken care of me properly, are giving me that my imprinting stage. They would cover me, give me what I need. When I got to that modeling stage, now I can look at my parent and say, oh, okay, I understand that now. So when we get out here and face this world, our immediate environment, you know, let's take a teenager, for instance. I don't like math. I don't like science. But anybody ever tell you that you were a mathematical and a scientific equation, bam. Now I have a new understanding. So, you know, now I look at myself in a completely different way. You know, that science takes us, Mark, to a new dimension. You know, I remember that movie came on, "This Man, Let's Go Where No Man Has Ever Gone Before." That's what this modeling stage and that's what this imprinting stage would do. It will take us to a dimension that no man has ever seen before. So we excel. Our children will excel in this environment.
Yes.
And we start talking about, you know, games and TV and virtual reality and music. We're way beyond that. I'm creating the music through my vibration. I'm dressed in the way that you want to dress like, because I look good as I do it, and I have confidence in wearing what I wear. You know, so these holidays, you don't have to say you don't participate in it. You just be who you are and do what you are. People would see that impression that was made upon you. They would see that you are modeling yourself about something that nobody's ever seen before. So now we out there, you know, intelligently. We're out there using intellect, and that's an attraction, Mark. That truly is an attraction. So what we do in our immediate environment and how we posture ourselves in these environments and how we participate in our educational world and how we participate in understanding my culture, my civic and social responsibility, I have good morals. I'm not mad. I'm angry, you know. So as I was saying, that recalibration, that's the role we play as young people. Our young people should be playing. People say, "Oh, wow, you're not like everybody else. What do you do? Who are you?" And that conversation that you have is beyond their imagination. That's that.
Yes.
That's that growth factor.
I'm lying. No, you know, that's you said a mouthful, as we say down south. Mm-hmm. You're saying a mouthful, and you know, I think it's so important. You know, you mentioned adolescence or that. That age or stage in their life, these are effective methodologies and tools to use in the communication with our young people who may be, as we call, adults with less sense. Adults with less sense, to really resonate with them in terms of these examples, these practical examples that are, you know, immediate in the environment, right? Because actually are going to school and they're experiencing these things. But also this methodology, and we get, it requires some thinking, very thought-provoking methods in terms of relating to our children, because it is that we have to know the pitfalls that they ultimately would have to deal with when they actually leave outside of the home life, which is we look at in terms of like it being in the mother's womb, the home life or family life becomes the second womb. You see, and so we learn from the womb what happens in the womb. In terms of the gestation period, the maturation period, if you will, in the growth and development there, and then the birth, the liberation, the freeing of that after a period of time. Well, the same thing, the enactment happens again, but it happens on a different level.
Yes, sir.
The first is physical, but then in the next womb, it becomes moral. Not only physical development, but moral, emotional, rational, intellectual, social, and also spiritual development happens in this next womb. You see, so the maturation, a gestation process has to happen in this next womb. You see, the development before actually a birth can actually take place. In terms of being able not only to survive when you leave outside the door, but to be able to thrive. And I think that this is so very important, you know, Rashid, when we look at the responsibility that all parents really have. We have to have to broaden our horizon in terms of how we see our role. We have to take parenting so very, very serious. If we're going to give our children a fighting chance, to make it in the world that we see. And this is how we really, truly do remake the world. It has to start in that first social unit in human society. That's the sacred institution of family life. And I'm just hoping that our radio listener audience really, really get this, how important this is, and the information, education that we disseminate each and every week here, how important it is. We want to just kind of flip the script for a few minutes, Rashid, and just want to get a little insight from you as we are approaching this blessed month of Ramadan, and we say blessed month of Ramadan. The month itself, Ramadan, is a blessing. It's a blessing because this is the month in which the Quran was first revealed.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it's a blessing, because it is the Huda. This is the guidance. It is that book, as Allah speaks about in Surah Baqarah. That is mm-hmm. the book. Sometimes it's said that this is the book. But, you know, the insight that Imam Muhammad gave to us, when the book was with Allah, the Quran was with Allah, it was, this is the book. But just imagine that if you have the book, you're the author of the book, and you have the book, then the one that has the book can say, this is the book. But when the book is given
right.
to someone, given to the human creation, as it was given through the angel Jibril to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this ninth month. Very, very important. Nine is a very important number in emblematic in Islam in terms of the birth. You know,
yeah.
9 months of the birth. You know, see, so what is going to be happening, or what should be happening through these 29 or 30 days of fasting while feasting on the Quran, a birth should be taking place.
Yeah.
A rebirth, if you will,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
in that regard. So in looking at this and looking at the first social unit, Rashid, as we say, the first social unit, which is a sacred institution of family life, another
mm-hmm.
womb, and a birth should be happening. How do you see it in terms of when we look at this learning lab, which is Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, how do you see the Quran in helping to reconstruct the family life, which obviously when you say reconstruct, that means there have been some destruction in it. How do you see that in terms of the needed help and assistance in terms of the guidance that we need to get back to the functional family life as Allah intended it? Well, we've seen a lot of dysfunctionality here, but when God says that is the book and it is guidance, sure,
absolutely,
for those who are conscious and regardful of me. Talk to us a little bit about that from your perspective, as we probably now, as sun has set here in the Midwest, here in the Gateway City. I want to just say to all our radio listening audience, and especially those on the Eastern Standard Time, those in the Central Standard Time, I want to be one of the first ones to say Ramadan Mubarak to you. We are now the blessed month of Ramadan. I know our brothers and sisters out on the, I call the left coast, the west coast, it would be a little bit more time before actually sunset and Ramadan will be here in America, all over the whole of the country. So talk to us a little bit, Rashid, from your perspective, how you see that in terms of these are the type of topics that we're going to be having throughout the month of Ramadan on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, the benefit of it, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, the MGM Roundtable, be dialoguing with some of the outstanding intellects in our community. There's going to be so much, because everything from these productions will be reflected around Ramadan. Talk to us, Rashid.
We do have two returning hands.
Oh, we got two hands.
Yeah,
okay, Let's go to the callers.
Hang on just one second. I'll get these two returning calls, and we'll go into that in more detail. Amira, your line is open.
Oh, is it still open? I didn't realize it was still open. Can you hear me? But you know what, though? I wanted to say something, but I thought I did press one. I don't know why it didn't go off the queue. But I was just sitting here thinking, this message is, oh, this message tonight, it has to go beyond this radio station. It just is so powerful and so empowering. They would say you can take this message anywhere. So we need to look at how we could get this message out, because this is, when you talk about in service to humanity, this is the kind of conversation that would transform the human spirit. This is what I'm hearing. So we can look at how we, you know, because you and Mark, y'all work so well, Brother Rashid, y'all work so well together. Lord, bless you to be just keep founding on each other's conversation and just with such a ribbon, you know. So we got to talk beyond this
video. We're taking a Facebook Live one of these days. We're going to get there.
It's got to be soon.
I'm going to hold Rashid Salam to that. Alhamdulillah. I love working with Rashid Salam. He's a natural, Amira. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Alhamdulillah.
Well, let me see.
I'm going to press one again.
Okay. Look at, we just got a message.
Wait till after, sweetheart, you see it says muted. When it says muted, then you press one, and then you'll be off the queue. You won't have your hand up. So mute her, and then when you hit muted, and then you press one, then you'll be out of the queue. So thank you so much, Amira, for calling in and expressing that. Rashid, who else we have?
Yeah, and before I say, before I bring another person on, I have a message from Imam Bashir that the noon has been sighted. So Ramadan Mubarak.
Yeah, that was right on.
Yeah. And so, all right.
Well, I mean, I was just, because he had to get this information out and everything. Mm-hmm. So once again, want to say to our radio listening audience on the East Coast, in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, and those in the Midwest, as we are here in the gateway city of St. Louis and all Kansas City, Chicago, all the surrounding areas in the Midwest, and our brothers and sisters have to wait for a little bit more. They're on the West Coast. I want to say, be one of the first ones to say Ramadan Mubarak, a blessed Ramadan, as this is the inception of Ramadan. The first day of fasting will be tomorrow. And we'll be reading the first juz of the Quran, you know, and I can't wait. I'm just excited, just like just a little child in the candy store, Rashid.
All right, we're going to bring on 254-419. Brother Muhammad, please, you know, tell us where you're calling from, and your mic is open.
I am from Texas.
Texas.
I am
the Longhorn State there. So, Brother Muhammad, you got a question or comment that you'd like to make? Brother Muhammad, you got a question or comment? Okay. No, we can't hear you going in and out. I don't know. We're not getting a good reception there. Get a little closer to your mic on your phone apparatus.
Well, he just dropped. So something was
just
wrong
dropped.
With the phone.
Okay.
We have one more line here that's open, and we'll open this line, and we'll go from there. We have 706-627. Please state your name. Where you calling from? Your mic is open.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Muhammad, from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, by the way of
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Muhammad. How you doing? Ramadan Mubarak to you.
Always good. Every time Allah bless us, believers try to get together and strive together toward pleasing Him. You know, inshallah, we will be successful. At least keep Shaitan behind us, you know. That's important. And
yes, sir. So you have any comments on tonight's topic or subject? Because this is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and we've been talking about, I don't know how long you've been on, but so you can be on target here in terms of talking about the Sunnah of Allah, first and foremost, that Allah has said in the Quran, He uses every similitude to teach us. I'm quite sure that you're familiar with that in the Quran. And we just related some of the Sahih Hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used that methodology in terms of teaching the people, in terms of using something in the immediate environment something that they knew about, something they had experienced, to teach them on a higher level in terms of the abstract. And it's also suggested here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that we should use examples in our children's immediate life to teach them in terms of a higher realm of life. This is actually following the sunnah of the prophet, but also we're relating this back to the Quran because this was the sunnah of Allah. As you well know, the sunnah of the prophet is not in the Quran. It's the sunnah of Allah, the way Allah does things. And he's telling us in the Quran that he uses every similitude, and as a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad, his tafsir, actually in a master key that he gave to us, let the known lead you to the unknown. So what is it that the Imam is saying? Let what it is that you know, or when you're teaching your children, let it is what they know lead them to what it is they don't know. And this has been the practice of the prophet, but it was the sunnah of Allah, first and foremost, in that regard. So in following the messenger, the Rasulullah, that this is a good way in terms of practical application, and we just use the practical application that was in the book in terms of parenting skills based on the Quran and the sunnah of the prophet, for practical application for various ages, and looking at when they go to school, hopefully they go into Islamic school, but teachers and instructors sometimes give quizzes. And the question is asked, are your children ready for a quiz? Are they prepared? Or if they're given a test, how prepared are they? And then they move from quiz to test to an examination. And sometimes children, if we remember when we was in school, they used to have, I think, I don't know if they still have the SAT test. That becomes an examination because it's on various topics and subjects, I should say, in that regard. But they use that to illustrate or demonstrate to, in terms of the life after this life. So if you're not prepared for a quiz, then chances are you're not going to pass the quiz. And we know quizzes are short questions, and oftentimes the teacher would give pop quizzes. You wouldn't know when it's going to come. Sometimes they would tell you it would be a quiz, but sometimes it would be a pop quiz or even a test in a certain subject area. How prepared are you? Or even an examination. So the question becomes, how prepared are you, you understand, after you have to transition from this life and you have to be questioned? Have you prepared yourself for the next realm of life? So you can see the connection here in terms of this being a very effective methodology in the communication in terms of disseminating information and education to our children by using and coming from an Islamic perspective. You see, it has to be in terms of practical application because, you know, you can't just take the abstract and just put it over our children's head and they haven't gotten the basic fundamentals, you know, because we have to look at what it is Allah has said in the Quran. He taught Adam. Adam is all human beings. Adam is not just an individual, a Caucasian man running around in the garden half naked without a wife and all those things, all those misnomers, misconceptions, and everything, as Imam Muhammad have given us the reality that Adam represents all people and also the human potential that all people have, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, was the teacher. This is something that many of us don't know. He's the teacher for all of his human creation and how he teaches us. He teaches us with the two means, the two hands, that being the natural creation, the universe that Allah has created. He designed and created the universe for the human intellect, which he created that to engage in. This is very, very important. And the other hand of means that Allah uses is revelation. So this is something, I'm just giving you an overview of what it is we talked about. So if you got any comments that you'd like to make in regards to this and this being an effective way or methodology for teaching our children following the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon the Prophet, and being also impacted and influenced by revelation by subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran as a part of being the sunnah way of teaching our children, I think is a very effective way it means. Any comments on that, Muhammad?
Yes, sir. Just want to quickly start with one of the most important parts, you know, is that to show or talk to our children and teach them how everything, Allah has done everything in creation, when we are obeying Him, supports us in that life and way to receive the opportunity to see the world after this world. If you don't, every time you deviate, you know, by your own fault or by whatever reason, the whole of creation is against you. That kind of thing will make a child understand that. Then we also now going into a beautiful time at the beginning of Ramadan, and Ramadan Mubarak to all of you. You know,
yes, Ramadan
when
Mubarak.
We teach our children that this is the month that Allah said he makes everything in creation listen and listen to us pray, his best creation, pray to him to make them successful. And he also is showing in the similar to, why don't they ask to get rid of the shaitan? Why not during the month of Ramadan when we are in our most pure state and we are have given Allah, inshallah, our total attention as he reteaches us again on what we are, who we are, and our purpose here in this world here, and also how to defend ourselves by paying more attention to our children. They are the root of our existence. And when they grow from this seed, from this root of coming into this world through procreation, and as they grow up to be a part of being the caretakers of this reality that we live in, we have to thank Allah and put ourselves in a state of understanding to where this year, teach our children to pray that Allah will relieve the world of shaitan. He has had enough respite by Allah just by our own human accountability. So it's time that we need to move on and ask Allah, you know, during this month, if there's the community of Imam Wardi Muhammad, took a pledge with each other to pray every day and to ask Allah at the end of the day or sometime during the day, would he please go ahead on and give Shaitan his destiny, the hellfire?
Yeah.
And those,
Yes. Now, let me say this, brother Muhammad. You know, when we read the Quran, it's only Allah that's speaking in the Quran. So Allah is speaking for everything in the creation, including Iblis, Shaitan, the prophets, everything, okay?
Yep.
So let's put it in perspective. Allah has already told us what's going to happen. See, so Allah, in terms of his sunnah or his way, he doesn't change it. And Allah tells us that in the Quran. So Shaitan asked for a respite. And Allah says, grant it. Because just think about it. I want you to think as a student, as Imam told us to think as a student. So Iblis was a jinn. You'll find that in Surah 18, Ayah 50 of the Quran. But Iblis didn't evolve. There was a jinn. He devolved. And he became Shaitan because of his arrogance, but also of his jealousy and thinking that he should be the Khalifa. You see, this is very important. So, in asking for respite, he's an avowed enemy of the human being. I'm not saying that. Allah says that. He's not an avowed enemy of Allah. So Allah granted him that. until the end of time, when there would be a time of accountability. So that has already been granted to the Shaitan already. This is not Mark Shahis, and this is the Quran. So we have to, when we read anything in the Quran, it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, that is speaking. And so when we close the book, we said, Sadaqa Allahu Deen. Sadaqa is the best charity that Allah gives his human creation, is that of revelation, the guidance, in terms of just what it is our relationship to him is, and our relationship should be to each other is, and to the creation itself. And we get a double dose in his Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, in demonstrating the Quran. So this month is a blessed month. So when we read
this, did I finish that comment?
Yeah, let me finish here. So let me finish here. So in Baqarah of the Quran, and we know it, and it's going to be said so many times during the month of Ramadan, wouldn't be surprising that when you go to your local masjid or Islamic center, you're going to hear that, all you who believe, fasting was prescribed for you. Or Imam Muhammad said, prescribed but inscribed for you, as it was prescribed and inscribed for those before you, meaning that it's a part of the very feature of the original nature of you, so that you may learn and they have their self-restraint. Imam taught us in terms of the Quranic Arabia that the Arabic word is tatakun. Tatakun is a derivative of the word taqwa. So it's not really self-restraint. It is so that you may learn to be more conscious, regardful of him, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in doing that, in being more conscious, regardful of him, and knowing your relationship, so what is that relationship, as Imam taught us? The relationship is that of servant to master. So what is the best servant? The best servant is the obedient servant. If, in fact, that we are an obedient servant, and we're more conscious and regardful of Allah, and especially in this month of Ramadan, while we're fasting in the month of Ramadan, while feasting on the Quran, we don't have to be concerned about Shaitan. Shaitan can't do anything to the believer, you understand, that's conscious, regardful of their Lord and Creator. This is why it is said, and it's not in the Quran, but it was revealed to the Prophet in Hadith Qudsi, where it was said that the Prophet said that Allah said, fasting is for me. But Imam Muhammad, once again, making what you call doing some tweaking, that fasting, he said, fasting belongs to me. It belongs to me. And it's actually saying that you belong to me. And I know what is best for you. It's not like we go to regular doctors and have to be diagnosed and the prognosis and all of this and then be given a prescription that you may get a reaction from or you may get a response from, reaction being negative, response being positive. Allah doesn't, he's subhanAllah. He is perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make errors. He is alcoholic. He is the creator. He knows exactly what it is that we need. This becomes a benefit. We are the beneficiaries of this, one of the five important pillars in which our whole life is built upon, as not only Muslims, but as mu'min, you know, as believers. So Allah has prescribed this and inscribed this for us, so that we can become more conscious, regardful of him. And in that process of fasting and denying and restricting those things that are natural for us, it even strengthens us to even be able to the discipline, the self-discipline, the self-management, self-control, self-restraint, you understand, in terms of deny ourselves in terms of that which is natural, even more so, it makes us even stronger in our faith in that regard. So we don't have to be concerned ourselves about Shaitan. And this is why you've heard before that Shaitan locked up. If in fact that we're really fasting and being obedient to what Allah, read from 183 to 187. And then if we follow that and obey what Allah is saying, Shaitan is truly, truly locked up, and we will understand that Shaitan doesn't have, as he met Muhammad, he doesn't have a presence outside of being in a human being in terms of a mindset and a disposition. And if we obey what Allah is telling us in this blessed month of Ramadan, Shaitan can't influence us because the whole of ourselves, even the five senses, is on fast. And then so the test for us is after we come, we should not go into Ramadan one way and come out the same way. We should go in, but we should come out a better person. Just want to say that. And I'm telling you, I'm talking from the Quran. I'm not talking from what I think. I'm telling you from what I know that Allah has revealed in the Quran. So we don't want to. And Imam Muhammad, he also, when he studied the Quran, he always had what is called the concordance, where there's every word. Even if you don't speak the Quranic Arabia, you can get the Quranic Arabia and both the translation English-wise in the Yusuf Ali, or you can get it only in the Quranic Arabia, or you can get it in the English, where every word in the Quran is actually there. And the reason I'm saying that, look, you can go and count how many pages Allah's name is mentioned in the Quran. It's the word that's used the most. Shaitan only had about a half a page in the Concordance. So Shaitan is not a big problem or issue, especially when we understand what our relationship is to our Lord and Creator, and that is a servant to master. Allah is the master. And if we're going to be a good servant, we have to be an obedient servant. That means that we have to follow the parameters in this blessed month and then make sure everything we do is amplified. The prayers are amplified, should be more. The zakat that we give, the sadaqah that we give is amplified, the good things, the good thinking. And we should be one to set ourselves free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. And as long as that happens, as Imam Muhammad says, yes, Allah says, dhikr, Allahu Akbar. That's thinking and remembering Allah, he said, is the greatest or the greater. But the Imam W.D. Muhammad even put more emphasis on that. He said, the greater or the greatest for what? And then he answers his own question. He says, yes, dhikr, Allahu Akbar, thinking and remembering Allah is the greatest or greater for getting the best results in our life. And that is what it is, because Allah has created us in the best of mold. So all we got to do is stay true to the nature, the original nature, the fitra that Allah has created. And at the end of Ramadan, then we have an Eid. It's not Eid, but it's Eid al-Fitra. It's a recurring happiness to the return of the original nature. And if we stay in that mode, Shaitan, he's frustrated. And so the last ayat of the Quran, I'm going to give you this and I'm going to stop, which is Surah 5, Ayat 3. This is the last ayat. And most of us don't know that, but when it's said, then it should come to our common sense and intelligence that this would be the last ayat that the Prophet Muhammad will give on Mount Arafat before his transitioning. And it's 23 years of the Quran being revealed to him. On this day, I have perfected for you your way of life, and I have completed my favor on you, and I have chosen or preferred for you the religion of Al-Islam. Now, that's very, very important, because if Allah has perfected something for us and we have wholeheartedly come into this way of life, and then, you know, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly, and then understand that Allah says, I have completed my favor. Why? He said completed. Well, the completion of the Quran that came to the seal of the prophets, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the revelation that preceded it, it was a favor. goes all the way back to Adam, when Adam slipped and became unconscious. But when he met a word from his Lord, then he became conscious again and he repented. This is something that Imam Muhammad says is still happening today. We're not to look at the Quran as a history book. It's still going on today. And Allah tells us, you understand, that those who are believers, you know, believers in Allah, and they embodied the Quran. What do you mean embodied? Just like the man that went to Aisha, who is Muhammad? What is his character? Do you not read the Quran? I just said that a little bit before you came on. And he said, well, of course I read the Quran. Well, that is the Prophet Muhammad is the living Quran, not the Quran walking. The book don't walk. The book lived in Muhammad. And that is what it is supposed to be happening for us, that when we come out of this, that book should be even more alive in us, and we should be better servants to Allah. And the better servant, the best servant, is the obedient servant. And as long as we do that, you don't have to worry about shaitan. And matter of fact, when Imam Muhammad said, fight shaitan, he said, but you can't fight shaitan like you think you're going to fight a physical person. He said, you defeat shaitan because his schemes are weak. And those schemes are actually appealing to the weakness of the human being. But this month is designed to strengthen us in every aspect of our life, Brother Muhammad. It's designed to do that. We don't have to worry about shaitan. Shaitan is a weakling. He only can have his appeal and impact or influence on weak people, weak-minded people, wrong-thinking people. But as long as we are obedient and following God's word, you don't stand a chance, bro. I just want to say that. Thank you for calling, because we about ready to wrap up here. And
can I have that 1 minute to finish the comment? You know.
Yeah, 1 minute. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, yeah, yes, sir. See, one of the greatest tools that we could give our children is the understanding of prayer. And it's one of the only things that Allah has promised us, that if we do it, that he will respond, no doubt about it, and that is prayer. And when we look below the surface, we'll see that Allah wants us to pray for anything that we need to remove whatever is holding us up from giving him the worship of our intentions. Then we pray for it. Allah will remove it. So it makes only sense if you have an enemy who is interfering with you and has permission by its creator, the same your creator, then it only makes sense to pray and ask Allah and teach our children that if you pray, to ask Allah when you have difficulty, like he tells us, if you have any kind of problem that interferes with your worship to me, pray and ask me, and I will answer you. I promise you that. That's something that Allah's going to give us. We're not going to lose it. He will answer all du'as.
That's
so
right.
Prayer is very important to us. That's why it's the second reality in our way of life of Al-Islam, after recognizing that Allah is the creator of all these realities.
That's
so
right.
We have to stay below the surface because we already know what's on top. You know, we need to be down. We're in Ahadith Qudsi, and the life of Prophet Muhammad in the Quran are the things that Imam Muhammad has been blessed by our God Allah to use as his guidance. And he has referred it to us. He always said, my leader is Prophet Muhammad. And it comes from Quran, and it's been exemplified in Prophet Muhammad made prayer to Allah to help him in all the battles he had when he thought it was beyond his comprehension that he could win. And Allah answered his prayers to show us that if you pray to him, and you think the same thing,
he says,
why don't they come to me and ask for the most important thing in their life, and that is to get rid of the enemy, their enemy.
Alhamdulillah. And so, Brother Muhammad, yes, we understand about the importance of prayer, but Allah has said in the Quran, he gives every creature its provisions. And you know, as a word teacher, they use the word prayer to pave roads around your efforts routinely. So we don't want to, you know, I never want to give people impression, you understand. And the Prophet also illustrated that, and we know in the famous hadith about the man that stayed in the Musalla, all day long. And he prayed and he dickered all day long. And, of course, it made such an impression on the people. They were just so overwhelmed by this man's family that was in prayer and dickering all day long. The Prophet Muhammad stuck a pen in the air balloon, if you will. They asked the question. He said, who takes care of him? What a resounding we do. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, then you are better than him. So the balance of the life, as Imam Muhammad has taught us, that we have to be a balanced community, meaning that we have to walk on two legs. There's a spiritual responsibility that we have, and we should teach our children, but teaching them is not just a verbalization, it's a demonstration of that. They should pray with us when they become of age, and you'll find that even young children, even before they can really know the prayer and what they're saying and all of that, they're great imitators. And sometimes they'll come and just stand beside you. I had grandsons who come and stand beside me, you know, when you pray, but they should see you doing that in everything before they even learn the prayer in terms of doing that. But Imam Muhammad said the balance is that we have a social responsibility. And Allah has given us provisions in terms of doing that. Matter of fact, he's put it in our fitrah, in our original nature. So if we don't, and we don't want to be like the Christians. The Christians say they can pray their way out of everything. You can't do that because Allah has given us provisions, and we have to utilize. You have to utilize those provisions. Sometimes people are praying for what God has already given to them. You see, you call on Allah's help, like in Al-Fatiha. You call Iyaka na abudu wa Iyaka na sa'im. You understand? It is only you, Allah, that we worship, that we serve, that we work for. And we seek your aid and assistance. Then the next ayat is telling us what it is that we need most from Allah. And that is Ihdina Sirat Mustaqim. And that makes it a dua. The Al-Fatiha is the most often repeated dua because what it is that we're asking for in that asking for the help and assistance is the guidance. The guidance. And then Allah tells us in the next surah of the Quran, that is the book. In it is guidance sure for those who are conscious regard for me. So it tells you what it is that you have to do to get Allah's help. And it tells you who Allah will guide and who he won't guide. Those who reject his message, his sign, that means his message, that they don't get guidance. Mashaheed ain't saying it's in the book. Look for it. Highlight it. You understand? I mean, it tells you about praying, but it also tells you about, you understand, getting the guidance from the revelation. You can't underscore that. That's very important. That's why I even said the sacred institution of marriage is half of your deen. Why? Because it's right back to the same thing. Not only are you supposed to have a spiritual responsibility, but you're also supposed to have a social responsibility. And when we learn that and we're obedient to that in terms of accepting that, that's where the balance come in. And you don't have to worry about shaitan tracking you down and putting a spell on you or whatever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. You understand? He only becomes a contender with you. Just like when the prophet was asked by his wife, Aisha, Rahim Allah, oh, Rasulullah, do you not have a jinn? You say, yes, I have a jinn. But Allah has made my jinn become a servant to me. And we know in the Quran, that's what Allah says. He addresses two creations that have freedom, that he gave freedom to and free will to. And that was the jinn and the ints. The jinn, you understand, Iblis was, but he was a disobedient intellect. But the human being that Allah created before even in the inception and coming into this world, God says, I have not created them except for my worship and for my service. So the jinn don't have to necessarily be bad. It's almost like, do the horse ride the man, or do the man ride the horse? So look at the jinn as the horse. The jinn can actually help take you to the jannah, the paradise, or it can take you to the jahannah, which is the hellfire. So Allah knew exactly what he was doing when he gave respite to Shaitan. I could say more, but I said enough. Thank you, Brother Muhammad. We have to move on. May Allah continue to bless you. And Ramadan Mubarak to you and to the regular listeners. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Alhamdulillah. So, Rashid Salam, any more hands in the air?
No, sir. No hands in the air.
Okay, so Rashid, I'm going to give you some closing remarks on this here because the next probably four Wednesdays, I guess it'll be four Wednesdays in this blessed month of Ramadan, as you hear in talking to Brother Muhammad in regards to this, we're going to hear about this month that the shaitan is actually locked up. I will once again encourage you to tune in on Saturday as we move the MGM Roundtable, as my special guest will be one of our outstanding intellects who's being honored tonight with a Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award. My good brother and friend, Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed, will be joining us. And these type of this type of information that you hear me disseminating now, I will be dialoguing with some of the outstanding intellects, and we want to drill deep into some of these things that are being said, because I've come to the conclusion that many of us are just on the surface, Rashid, and we don't look at it deeply. And so if we don't really have a clear understanding, it's difficult for us to teach our children in terms of the practical application of this, and also maintain the balance that we don't have to be extremists and know that just by the time that Shaitan is mentioned in the Quran, you know, Shaitan is not, and once you are actually committed to this way of life, you truly a believer in Allah, and we utilize these pillars that is to hold up and sustain the life, maintain the life, you ain't got to worry about Shaitan. You know, he's going to test you. But that's why he's here. He's here to try to alter your perception. That's what Imam Muhammad said. That's his role. You know, that's his role. But we've been given a role, too. And all we have to do is focus on our role. And if we do what we're supposed to do, you don't have to worry about Shaitan about it. It's like a bad dog. As long as the dog knows you're scared of them, and I'm going to tell this little story because it's kind of funny. It's dumb. As long as the dog knows you're scared of him, he's going to chase you. So there's this little boy. He used to stand on the bus line, and every morning this dog would see, and he'd see the dog. He'd get scared of the dog. He'd start running. The dog would start turning and start running after him every morning. And so then one day he was standing on the bus line. The dog chased him and everything, and so he was out of breath, and he finally came back. So there was another boy that was standing on the bus line with him. He said, "What were you running from that dog for?" He said, "Man, because I'm scared of dogs." He said, "Why are you scared of him?" He said, "Because I didn't want the dog to bite me." He said, "Well, you don't have to worry about it with that dog." He said, "Yeah, but..." He said, "But I didn't want him to bite me." He said, "Well, that's my dog." He said, "You have to run from him because he ain't got no teeth." So, Shaitan don't have no teeth, you all. All he has is a whisper. Read the last surah of the Quran, Al-Nas. You understand? We seek refuge from the whisper of the evil one as he withdraws, you understand, because he don't want to be known or seen. All he can do is whisper and read the Quran. Pay particular attention. Shaitan is going to be in denial. He's going to be in denial. Allah is telling you everything in terms of the thinking of Shaitan. Only Allah is speaking in the Quran. So you ain't got nothing to fear in terms of Shaitan. Matter of fact, that's one of the tools that Shaitan used is fear. But what does Allah say about the believer? On them should be no what? Fear nor grief. So we shouldn't even talk about, man, I wouldn't think about Shaitan. You shouldn't have no fear or grief. If you true believer, don't worry about that. Only worry about what Allah tells us to do. And then do it. That's the key. If you do that, you ain't got to be concerned about Shaitan. Sometimes we talk more about Shaitan inadvertently, unconsciously. We talk more about Shaitan than we do about Allah. Think about that. Rashid, you got the last word. What would you like to say before we end this special broadcast on Parenting, Family Reconstruction, Learning Lab? Rashid?
All righty. I would just say this, Mark. We have certain responsibilities as parents towards our children. And as the Quran say, do not let your wealth or your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah. Salaam
alaikum. And, you know, Allah, it says, do not let your wealth or your children divert you from, you know, your service to Allah. But most certainly, the weakest thing that is existent is Shaitan. And
yes,
all
sir.
He has the ability to do is just whisper.
That's
and
it.
Then when you come, you have to ask yourself, who's this speaking inside of me? Is this Allah speaking or this Shaitan speaking? Once you come conscious in terms of remembering what Allah has said to you, when you read the Quran, ingest it. I mean, take it in. Digest it. Understand it. Yeah, you're supposed to pray. Who's going to be the ones that going to be the invitees? Allah tells you, into you, my workers. You're going to have to perform the work. You won't be able to talk your way into the Jannah. You won't be able to preach your way into the Jannah. You won't be able to pray your way into the Jannah. So please, don't be an extremist. Be like it is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to those who were so overly impressed with those who, a man that stayed in the Musala, and probably all of us have somebody that fits that description and just dickered all day long. But they was negligent of their social responsibility. We can't be a half Muslim nor a half believer. We have to be entered this way wholeheartedly. So I want to say that and want to say that the beat goes on. As tomorrow here on IWDM Radio, it'll be the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And it would be the first in terms of the new time as Quran Shakir from the Jewel of the South, that's the ATL. She joins yours truly. We will be on early tomorrow. This is the first day of fasting in the month of Ramadan to make sure to ensure that those in the Eastern Standard Time Zone will have plenty of time to get ready for breaking the fast and making the Salatu Maghrib and also the iftar with family, friends, or even the community. So tomorrow will be the first day, and all throughout the month of Ramadan, these productions, especially the evening productions, they will come on early. So let's get the word out. And Rashid Salam, who's our public relations affair director, he will be sending out Texas to those who are part of his database and all and everything, and we'll give him opportunity if you want to be a part of that. He can give out the number that you can call and give him that vital information, and he will make sure that each time the IWDM radio is on the air, you'll know so you can be there. Very, very important. So it'll be 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, those in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. It's 4 p.m. Central Standard Time tomorrow and the first day of Ramadan, 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And this is all throughout the month, the blessed month of Ramadan. And after Ramadan, we will return to our regularly scheduled time and date. Also, Friday is Salatu Jumu'ah Day. Muslim worldwide, those who immobilized can't get out and about. You can come back here on IWDM Radio with the Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, from Noor Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana, each and every Friday afternoon, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And this Saturday, we will utilize this Saturday as we did last year. The MGM Roundtable that usually airs after the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's because we didn't have it tonight, but it will make its appearance on Saturday afternoon in the blessed month of Ramadan. It will start at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. So that's the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I think this is the fifth year. What a theme. As the host of the show, yours truly, Mark Shaheed, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. Special guest at the round table, my good brother and friend, who's receiving a Presidential Lifetime Award tonight. And we want to keep him in our du'as, one of the jewels in our community, Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed. And I will be dialoguing with him on that theme and that subject, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. So please tune in for that Saturday and Sunday, the longest running production here on IWDM Radio, Words Make People. Once again, with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir. And that starts each and every Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. The beginning of the week, one of our new talk show hosts, that's Imam Nazim Pasha, and he hosts an outstanding production called ABC. That's Al-Islam-based conversation. It starts at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I think he's keeping that time the same. 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is 5 p.m. Central Standard Time and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And that will be only an hour production, as these evening productions will be an hour only. So in respect for those who can break their fast on time, given the time zone that you're in, and make your slide on time and the iftars that will follow right after. And then Tuesday, last but not least, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam and his guest, often returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. Yes, this is a learning lab that you really have to pay close attention. And you need a good ink pen, a good pencil, and a good notebook to really take notes and ask questions. It will happen on the Ramadan time for it. It also will be airing at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be 4 p.m. Central Standard Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And this is the new time for this production during the blessed month of Ramadan. So please take note that the next time you hear Rashid Salam on the air, he will be on the Ramadan time schedule here on IWDM Radio. So please get the information out and about for those who want to tune in. And so you just heard it tonight as we had the last production just before Ramadan here. It was so special that Rashid Salam sitting in for Dr. Patricia Slaudine. Inshallah, will be back with us next Wednesday here, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And it will be on Ramadan time, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Please don't forget, your Muslim Journal is the lifeblood of our community. And on, if you have the wherewithal, this is an excellent time to make that a gift for somebody, because everything that's done in this blessed month of Ramadan is amplified and multiplied. You get 10 times the blessings you generally would. So I want to thank our radio listening audience for sticking and staying and not straying away. And a special thanks go to my brother and friend, Rashid Salam, sitting in, Dr. Patricia Salam, and engineering tonight, as always. So until next time, that we have to teach our children, my good brother and friend, Umar Siddiqui. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan.